Hey, this is Gunn from the podcast The Indefensible Middle Ground, and this is the Secret Societies podcast number 3. So, this podcast I'm going to be focusing on the concept of Christianity in secret societies, and it's kind of an answer to a lot of the people saying that all secret societies are evil and they're the devil and yada yada yada, Blanchard, all that stuff I complained about in the second Secret Societies podcast. Stay tuned. First, we're going to do our very first Top 10 Tuesday, which does have a secret society theme. It is just for fun, and please enjoy this. I actually compiled this list from my encyclopedic knowledge of Futurama, and then just now went online and found that there are some really amazing Futurama resources, which I put links to, and I really hope if you're a Futurama fan, you'll get a kick out of this. If you're a Secret Society fan, I hope you get a kick out of this. This is the top 10 secret societies of Futurama. Now, what I tried to compile were the groups that either had a direct parallel to some secretive organization in real life, or had a public face and a private face, or just a private face. So, without further ado, here are my picks for the top 10 secret societies of the Futurama universe. Number 10, the Robot Mafia. The Robot Mafia is probably the worst secret society. That's why they're number 10. While they do things in secret, everyone knows they're the Robot Mafia. So it's kind of a joke that they're a secret group, that there are a mafia when there's only 3 of them and everyone knows exactly who they are. So I've put a link to the Futurama wiki on them. Pretty much every episode therein is pretty funny, so enjoy. Number 9, the Council of Robot Elders. This is one where they delve into actual conspiracy theory stuff, because they're on a planet run by robots, Chipik 9, and this planet has a public face that runs very similar to ours, with except, you know, robots being perfunctory and doing their duties, but there's a shadow society that runs the place that keeps the population in check by having them be afraid of humans. So It is a direct critique of government control and using fear to control the people, playing on irrational fears, which is obviously done ironically, since they're robots and they're not supposed to have irrational fears. They're supposed to be perfunctory in all their tasks and dealings. When they're sentenced to death, the people, the characters in the show are put in front of the Council of Robot Elders, which is the secret shadow society that runs the planet. So they actually should belong a little further up the list, though they can't go much further than number 8, which is the Niblonians. The Niblonians are a secret group of super creatures that run the universe, or fight bad guys in the universe and keep their intelligence secret. Check out the link on them. The Niblonians are very much where Futurama started to play around in the fun parts of science fiction, where it verges on mysticism. When Nibbler starts to talk to Leela, he tells her the secret of the universe, and her first response to that is, "So all religions are wrong." So it's kind of a funny episode, the thought that the super creatures in the universe, what you might look at as god creatures, are struggling themselves, and they are a force that's not all powerful. So it's and it's keeping itself secret from us. So that's kind of the weird overtone, and very sci-fi. Gets into some deep, silly, goofy comedy along with some high test, high concept surrealism. So, yeah, all the Niblonian planet and Niblonian episodes are a real trip. Number seven is not necessarily a society so much as it is a company. It's Mom Corp. It has a public face of being run by a sweet little old woman who in reality is a evil woman who has a secret hierarchy of her children who she beats on a regular basis, uses her secret setup to literally take over planets, destroy other companies. At one point, she has robots take over the world. She's definitely a secretive evil person, and I say that she's a her whole organization is an evil secret society. Another evil secret society, not intentionally evil. Epsilon Rho Rho. Epsilon Rho Rho is Bender's. That's Bender's fraternity from college. And in an episode where Fry goes to college in Mars University, Epsilon Rho Rho is it's based on the movie Animal House, which very very politically incorrect, not really matching up to today's standards of right and wrong. So it'd be an interesting throwback watch to go see Animal House nowadays. But Epsilon Rho Rho, robot version of the fraternity from Animal House, obviously. They get into all sorts of shenanigans. Since Bender is mentoring this group of nerds, they, of course, are doing hilariously depraved things at different points. So, according to Dean Vernon, they desecrate a corpse. So, at least one. So, God knows what that was supposed to mean. I don't know. But let's see here. Boop boop boop. The Central Bureaucracy. The Central Bureaucracy is number five, and it has a public face of just people being helpful in your business or your community, being sticklers to the rules and forcing you to pay fines and all that stuff. The stuff that bureaucrats typically do, where they become a secret society is at the central bureaucracy level. It has a inverted hierarchy where the higher number you have is the lower you are. The lowest number you have is the highest you are. And the bureaucracy is not necessarily secretive as it is just intensely confusing. It's a direct parallel to our federal government, which if you wanted to look at the concept of secret societies, that's a very secretive one there. And yes, that is a pretty accurate and comedic parody of it. The thought that our federal government always has just ridiculous amounts of rules and regulations that do nothing but keep people out. So as opposed to telling people you're not allowed to enter unless you're a card carrying member, well, we just make it really convoluted and hard to open the door. But it's unlocked. You could go right on in. So that's our government, and that's the central bureaucracy. They also borrow heavily from the Terry Gilliam film Brazil. So go watch that film. It's an absolute trip. I'm going to put a little link to that film here too. And check that out. Absolute trippy. When you watch it, you'll get a kick out of it, especially if you're a Futurama fan. The Futurama stole the tubes from Terry Gilliam's Brazil. So, yeah. Moving on. We have number four, Al Gore in the Vice Presidential Action Rangers. According to one of the Tales of Interest episodes, which you might say isn't canon, but whatever. It's they're still set in the Futurama universe. So if Fry had not gone to the future, he would have bumped into Al Gore in 1999 and the Vice Presidential Action Rangers, who are tasked with protecting the universe. So and include Uhura from Star Trek, and Gary Gygax, may he rest in plus five piece. I think there's a supercomputer in there. I'm blanking on everyone in there. I put a link to the Futurama wiki in this, so check out the Vice Presidential Action Rangers. There's the Society of Mad Fellows. I skipped one. Number three is the New Justice Team, a very short-lived secret society, a group of Bender, Leela, and Fry. When they get superpowers, they became the New Justice Team, and they had to hide their identities as they fought various bad guys around town. Once again, check the link. It's a pretty hilarious episode. They fight the zookeeper and try to protect the Quantum Gemerald in order to avoid their identities getting out. Fry has to commit suicide, which is maybe foreshadowing to their last episode if you watch the show. Moving on, we have number two, the Society of Mad Fellows. Society of Mad Fellows is probably my favorite. Mad Fellows reminds me of Odd Fellows, which, you know, my affinity towards them as being good guys in the real world, and the Mad Fellows are good guys in Futurama. They're fighting the Dark Ones, which are an evil force that's trying to exterminate life in the universe. Not all life, but different creatures in the universe. And the Society of Mad Fellows is a secret group of crazy guys who hear voices. Sometimes you get the idea that sometimes it's other people's thoughts, and some of them are just kind of crazy. So that's from one of their movies, Into the Wild Green Yonder, which another reason why I absolutely love that secret society and that movie is because Phil Hendry plays the voice of Hutch Waterfall, which is one of the Mad Fellows. And watch Into the Wild Green Yonder. Brilliant work by Phil Hendry, who plays Hutch Waterfall and Frida Waterfall, the leader of the Green Yurita Banditas. I suppose I could throw them in there as a secret society, but they're not. They're public. They're an activist group. They're not a secret society. But Phil Hendry is brilliant in that, playing a male and female brother sister in that movie. Moving on, number one. And this one I had to put in there as number one just because I was watching this the movie that had them in there, which is Beast with a Billion Backs. And when Bender holds up the Robert's Robots Rules of Order, a couple of my friends who are both in Pythian societies just busted up laughing, because if you know anything about Knights of Pythias, you know that they treat Robert's Rules of Orders like the gospel. So making a literally a Robert's Rules of Order joke in the Secret Society meeting was pretty brilliant. Matt Groening, of course, is a Freemason, so he may have been using his influence and knowledge of how Lodge works. And, of course, I'm speaking of the League of Robots. My number one pick is the League of Robots. Not only does the League of Robots have a secret society that involves initiation, but they get involved in world takeover at one point. Bender actually makes a deal with the devil and creates a pirate army of the damned. Not necessarily having anything to do with secret societies. It's just really cool. So, check out the Futurama movies. Check out the links that I'm posting with this. And moving on, I would like to go ahead and start my analysis, as I promised last time, of Morals and Dogma, the Albert Pike's compilation of writings on the ancient and accepted Scottish rite of Freemasonry. It's an absolute brilliant collection of work. Some of the writings are writings that were translated from French into English. Some of it is just straight from Albert Pike's imagination, where he's tying things together and making grandiose points. His writing and the writing of the people he's compiling are indiscernible, because they all have this incredible grandiose way of weaving sentences together throughout all of history. And one of the things that I kind of noticed throughout the book was how a lot of people might think, oh, this is about other religions, this is about occult stuff, this is about ancient Egypt or ancient Persian beliefs. They could think all this all they want. When it comes down to it, if you read the whole thing, oh, and my favorite, it's about Satan. There's a biblical reference in there, and of course people read it, and if you want to find Satan as being the god of Freemasons, well, there you go. Even though, as a Jew, I could say, reading the book, I thought it was pretty overtly Christian. Because of the parts that straight up say it's Christian and say that they're Johannite Christians, and that a lot of the things that Freemasons do, they do because the early Christians did it. So that kind of tosses the issues that people have with Freemasons, which, If you look at the anti-Mason movement, it was highly run by Christians, saying this isn't Christian enough. This group is not Christian, it's evil. When it's supposed to be a secular group that allows people in from all walks of life. What happens, though, and this isn't the case anymore. Now people can rise the ranks in Freemasonry of various different religions, and there's even affinity lodges where you could be a certain religion and join. But the way it basically used to be is, yeah, you could join whatever religion you wanted to be, or whatever religion you were, but you're going to hit a wall at some point. At some point, they're going to say, hey, it would be nice if you could come up to the next level, but the next level, you have to be Christian to join, and it's Knights Templar. Now I've gotten kind of wishy-washy answers that maybe Jews can actually join Knights Templar, or they can join the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which that has some very interesting chivalric elements in it and takes you up to the 32nd degree. but and allows you entry into other orders. If you're confused, let me try to explain how Freemasonry works. You can go as high as the third degree and as far as the 32nd. And what that means is once you get to the third degree, you're a full member. You then have the ability to apply to higher degrees, which a lot of people will tell you there really isn't any degree higher than the third degree. That's the highest, that's the only legitimate degree recognized by Freemasonry. All the others are further. It's further light in Masonry. So, and other orders, which just basically means you're getting more history, more involvement, more tasks, more connections in the order. So you're going further, you're getting more experience, you're getting more connectivity with other lodges and groups. Freemasonry, a lot of people think Freemasons are connected to Freemasons all over the world directly, and that's not accurate. Each lodge is its own governing body, and within, like, say, let's say the state of Virginia, there is no higher governing body in the state of Virginia of Freemasons than the Grand Lodge of Virginia, ancient free and accepted Masons. That's the tip of it. You don't get any other lodge above that telling a blue lodge of Freemasons how to act, how to be, what to wear, what their initiation process is. Now, which that basically means that a Mason, even though they might be looked at as a Mason or respected as a Mason in Maryland or DC, they might not know the rules. They might not know the way they do business exactly there. They might not know what the words they're going to say when they're going to say certain words. It changes from place to place. So because there's not a uniform rule that all Masons all around the world say exactly the same thing. It varies place to place, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And then when you're joining the higher groups, that's where there might be a connectivity with other groups. The appendant bodies of Freemasonry could be countrywide. If you've been in downtown D.C. on 16th Street, 1733 16th Street, you'll bump into a massive building that is absolutely gorgeous, and it clearly is an homage to architecture and masonry throughout history. When you look at that building, you are looking at the House of the Temple of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and it's said to have Albert Pike's body in the walls. Interned in the walls, not just jammed up in there. It's obviously a very respectful place, gorgeously maintained, and the sphinxes out front, the pyramid on the top, the pillars all around it. It's quite a spectacle. If you're in D.C., drive down 16th Street Northwest and take a look at the beautiful House of the Temple of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Now, that is clearly something in the nation's capital. It's something that if you are part of the Scottish Rite, you are part of a nationwide thing. So that's where there's the higher groups, the higher orders, the more connectivity. Now, that's where this is what's kind of funny about. When you follow the anti-Mason movement, which is based a lot on fear and paranoia of circuit preachers back in the day, and it's not based on logic and reason and literacy. It's just based on fear. And ironically, sometimes it was Protestants running around saying this stuff, and in order to make their point, they were taking words out of encyclicals of cardinals and the Pope, at different points in Catholic history when the Catholic Church was saying the same thing about the Protestants, saying about how they're evil and blah, 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 at different points. And so in order to make their point, they're stretching, instead of looking at where the information's coming from, they're just running with it. Like, no, I need to make the point that Freemasonry is evil, so I don't care who's saying it. I'm gonna parrot it. And once you really start doing your research, and there's plenty of ways to do research out there. There's lots of, as a Freemason once told me, he said, hey, it's all online. If you wanted to find it, you can find it. And once you do find it, you're going to realize, here's another point. If you're ignorant of what Christianity is, if you've never been to church, or if you've been to church, you never paid attention, if you've never read the New Testament, you are not going to recognize Freemasonry when it punches you in the face, when it smacks you around with direct quotes from Jesus, when it makes analogies to biblical lessons and parables of Jesus. You're not going to recognize it because of your own ignorance of your religion. So that's your fault, and it's not Freemasonry's fault. So, sad but true situation there. You got a lot of people who will run off at the mouth about this and that and the other, and it's just the fact that they don't know their religion. Freemasonry, Odd Fellowship, both are condemned by the Catholic Church, yet both have overtly Christian elements in their structure, in their ritual. One of the things I found had a just a straight up Christian prayer in a Masonic thing that's straight up out of the New Testament. And Odd Fellows as well, there was a Christian prayer. Of course, it doesn't say the name of Jesus, because sometimes they're quoting Jesus, who didn't talk about himself in third person. ironic, as all the nice things people say about the guy, and he wasn't that full of himself, you know? I think that's something people should know. Yeah, if you're looking for Christianity, you'll find it. If you're looking for evil and the devil everywhere, you'll find that. Seek and ye shall find, right? So one of the points that Albert Pike made in Morals and Dogma was that a lot of the stuff in Freemasonry is allegorical to Christ. To the coming of the Messiah, and even the stuff that's referencing ancient Egyptian stuff and ancient this and that stuff, it's all pointing towards the thought of the coming of the Messiah, the death and resurrection of Christ, and the salvation that comes through him. Now, does that mean everyone in Masonry is Christian? No, of course not. Does that mean you have to be a Christian to go through the higher degrees of Masonry? To be honest, I don't know. I don't know that. I would imagine nowadays that's not the case. But I can tell you, during the 1800s, it seemed like Freemasonry was kind of a gotcha, because it was one of those things that the Christians were freaking out about, saying it's evil, it's evil, it's evil. And then once you get in there, it's like, oh, no, we're basically a bunch of Christians who make rules and do this and that and fraternize and yada yada. So the majority of all Freemasons have to believe in God, and the majority of joiners of Freemasonry in America are Christian. So it's not at all confusing why there would be a heavily Christian element to Freemasonry. I'm sure in other countries you'll find a swing towards whatever the religion is in that country, but here in America, it's safe to say, in that scary Freemason lodge down the street from you, no one is sacrificing a goat to Beelzebub. there, probably just following Robert's rules of order and having parliamentary procedural reading and of minutes of the past meetings and yada, yada, yada. And maybe they'll donate some money to charity. Maybe they'll initiate new members. That's scary, scary stuff, isn't it? So once again, this Secret Societies podcast has not been to scare people, but it's actually been to throw some water on the people who are freaking out. So I hope you've enjoyed this. You can pick up a copy of Morals and Dogma of the Ancient Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry on Google Play Books. I'll put a link to that. You can find that. There are some very archaic ways of speaking that could be easily looked at as very politically incorrect nowadays. So keep that in mind. You are not reading a book that's been expurgated for modern principles and logic. You are reading a book compiled in the 1800s. So enjoy and keep in mind people had different values on a lot of things back and then. Just take that with a grain of salt. And yeah, I would say keep talking it out. But when people do that about secret societies, somebody's always just screaming belligerently on the internet about how the Bilderbergers and the Rothschilds are giving aliens concentration camps in the desert run by FEMA. And I don't know what to say to people like that. I can't really fathom it. Oh well. I'm going to try to tackle some questions and some stuff on B'nai B'rith next time. And stay tuned to the podcast for Wiretap Wednesday tomorrow. And of course, now we will have a follow-up Friday. And is that okay? Top 10 Tuesday, Wiretap Wednesday, and follow-up Friday. Those are set in stone. That's what we're going to be doing on the podcast. So, you know what? I love you guys, and keep talking it out.